I just want to say to all you teachers, I admire you more than I've ever admired you. You know, sharing something for just like 2 or 3 minutes as opposed to, you know, 10, 15, 20, 30, whatever. It's not going to be long, just so you know. It's way different. I kept doing my notes. The Lord dropped something in my heart. Let me just back up a second. In the end of October, maybe? First of November, right in that time frame. So this is something I've been mulling over for a long time. And finally, after a couple weeks, I went to Rich and Stacey. I said, I think this is a word for our body, for this group of people. And so just things kept happening. And, you know, the timing was today. And then all of a sudden I'm finding I'm family of the week. And I'm like, this is really embarrassing. This is, you know, you just want to like kind of hide under a rock a little bit. And then I'm hearing all of you guys. And I'm like, oh, God is just so good and faithful to us, isn't he? So anyway, back to the teachers. I don't know if you guys can see this far. I tried. I'm not a teacher. I'm not going to do line upon line. But do you see all this? So these circles here, 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 and if I flip it over, they all connect. Yeah, they're not like this. Highlights are here, here, and back there. They all connect. So anyway, that's just kind of how my little brain processes, so you all know. So I'm hoping I don't, like, jump here, jump there. I'm sure it'll weave back into a nice fluid line for the Lord, but I just want to warn you, I'm not a teacher. But I love the Lord, and he is faithful, you guys. So we're going to go to the book of Acts, chapter 10. So if you guys, we're going to be like mostly right there. And how many people think of something when they think of the book of Acts 10? What do you think of? Anybody? Nobody? Come on, we just had a class on this. Peter's vision, the sheet, you know, all the unclean animals. I love that story, but when the Lord showed me what he was showing me out of this, I was like, oh, I just love how he can take his word. It means something, but then later it means this, and later it means this, and you know, you just continually get revelation out of his word. So, if you want to go ahead, if you guys have your Bible, I want you to follow with me because there's a little bit of following, but if not, I think it's going to be up there. So, and if it's not, it'll be there in a minute. So Cornelius is a Roman centurion. That means he's over about 100 people and he is working within what's called an Italian cohort, which is a group of about anywhere between 600 to 700 people. So he's part of their military. The military ranks, okay? He's a military guy. Let's say he, to us, would be like a sergeant. You know, he's not a little corporal or a lance corporal, or he's a sergeant. He's got guys under him now, okay? And he has been in the land for some time. He has watched all these Jews. He's watched Jesus come on the scene. He's watched how he was treated, even by his own people, much less their people. So this is Cornelius. And so the first verse says, there was a man of Caesarea named Cornelius. He was a centurion. He was a devout man, one who feared God. Now, isn't that interesting that he was one who was devout? That means he spent time in prayer. He spent time, probably as much time as he could, hearing the word spoken somewhere. And it says he feared God with his whole household. He gave many alms, which was Jewish tradition. All these things were very Jewish traditions, and he understood that, and he prayed to God. Okay, so I just want you to really capture that. He's not a believer, but he is a believer. He's not one that's been, like, he hasn't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's already happened, right? They're all gathering. The church at that time is growing in number. And he's watching all of this. Him watching all of that made him realize that's God. That is the one true God. And so that's why he all of a sudden started, him and his whole household began to honor that God. He began to say, this is where I'm going to put my time, my effort, my money, my prayers is going to that God. So it was about the ninth hour of the day. He was praying. It was about the ninth hour of the day, which would be, anybody? 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock our time, okay? So that's kind of how they, you know, did it. And they did things by watches. We're going to do that in a second. So he clearly saw in a vision. So God did not withhold from him. He saw what this man was doing, and he says, Now's his time. So he gave him a vision of and there was an angel came to him and he said, Cornelius. And Cornelius looked at him very alarmed, it says. And he said, what is it, Lord? He said to him, your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial to God. So I want you to dispatch some men to Joppa. I got to looking up this because I wanted to know the exact timeline. There is a little teacher there. Anyway, it's about a 30-mile journey from Caesarea to Joppa, okay? And he said, now I want you to dispatch men to Joppa and send for a man named Simon, who is also called Peter. He's staying at a certain tanner named Simon and his house by the sea. When the angel was done speaking to him, he departed and he summoned two of his servants. So we'll pause there. As soon as that angel departed, he's summoning. He didn't wait, guys. He didn't wait. I was like, As soon as the angel departed, he summoned these guys. How many times do we know we've heard the Lord and we're like, was that you, God? That dream, was that you? Man, I was just sitting here minding my own business and all this happened and an angel appeared and spoke to me and I'm like, I think I need another sign. If you tell me again, God. I mean, you guys, this guy wasn't even in the fold yet. And he knew right then that was the Lord. He wasn't wasting time. So he dispatched the guys to Peter. And then the next day, they were on their way approaching the city. Peter was up on his rooftop. So they're walking. It took about 12 to 13 hours-ish for them to make that journey. It was overnight, so I'm sure they had to get a little bit of shut-eye. So anyway, they're walking. While they're walking, still walking, they're not even there yet, Peter's up on the rooftop, and he is now having an encounter. And he went up on the rooftop about the sixth hour to pray, which if the ninth hour is 3 p.m., the sixth hour is noon. Okay. He became hungry, and while he was desiring to eat, they were making all the preparations downstairs. It says he fell into a trance. So now we have another spiritual encounter, so to speak. And he beheld the sky, and it opened up, and a certain object, like the sheet, was coming down. We're just going to skim through that, okay? So there's the sheet, the animals, and it's telling Peter to rise and kill. But Peter's like, no way. Because he knows he's not supposed to eat that kind of animal, right? He's been given the law. He understands. I can't do that. And not only that, some of the animals in that sheet were clean. Some were unclean, so to speak. Some he could eat. Some he couldn't eat. But in Jewish lifestyle back then, if clean and unclean were together, it was called common. That means they couldn't even touch that because they were hanging out together. So they couldn't touch that, okay? I've got a little snippet I'm going to read out of the Hebrew Roots Bible that was like, woo! It was just such a good little tidbit of revelation. So anyway, this happens three times. Apparently, Peter needed to hear it, not once, not twice, but three times. So he's seeing this thing three times, okay? And then it says that Peter was greatly perplexed in mind. He's not understanding it. And it's not like he had to keep getting, because he wasn't listening. God kept redoing it because he's like, I want to make a point. I want to make a point and I want you to work through this with me. Because it says that he was perplexed. And later down in verse 19, it says, while Peter was reflecting or pondering. So he wanted to get his attention. So when things happen two and three times like that, not because we're asking, give me another sign, but it just happens. He's wanting our attention. And so it took Peter some pondering to figure that out. That is one of my favorite words to use. And so when I was reading this, pondering is in another translation. And when you really study that word out, it really is pondering. Have you ever pondered something? Like you've really given it a lot of thought. You go back and forth and up and down and let me tear that apart. And let me really understand what something means. It's pondering. Okay. So he's saying, he's pondering it. While he's pondering it, he says, there's guys coming to meet you. I want you to go down and go meet them. So we have Cornelius, who's had this vision, right? Sends the guys. He immediately responds to the vision. As he's going, we have Peter, while the men are going, having an encounter. Both of these guys, if one didn't respond, whatever happened to Peter, it was not going to happen. Do you see that? Because Cornelius responded, Peter's vision happened. I don't know that Peter's vision would have happened if Cornelius wouldn't have responded. I don't know. I mean, if you think about that, would that vision have happened right at that moment? Because so that Peter had the vision, and this is another just one of those little hmms. I don't have an answer. It's just a hmm. Maybe some of you have the answer. But so he had that vision three times. Three men showed up to see him. I'm like, You know, was that so Peter, when he saw that it was three men and he knew he just had that vision three times, like, oh, because those were considered unclean men. They weren't Jews. So they weren't considered that. So maybe he had to have that vision three times for that reason. So, you know, it's funny that in the middle of, you know, like wrestling with God, pondering things, trying to figure out, what is it you're saying? What is it you're saying, God? I see it now. You keep telling me. I know that it's you, but what is it you're saying? In the midst of that, he got his answer. So I just think when we as believers, as followers of Christ, if something's happening and we're getting a word, whether it be, you know, we're reading and it got illuminated to us, we had a dream. I had a dream this morning. I mean, I have seasons of dreams. I have seasons where I don't dream, but I had a dream this morning. So I was like, I was pondering it with Rich this morning. I said, can you believe this dream? Man, it was crazy. You guys, it was crazy. I took down some kids that had guns and, you know, it was like what in the world, you know? So it just, you have to ponder with the Lord. Okay, so hang on, let's see, make sure where I'm at. Because I told you they're all over, right? I know what I really want to say, but I just want to make sure I don't miss any good nuggets. So I just want to like do a little caveat. So we're talking about the two times that they saw something. Okay, those were watches. So it was the beginning of a 3-hour segment of time that was very popular in Jewish tradition. So they had watches of the day and watches of the night. And the one watch was at 3 p.m. That's the watch that Cornelius had. That watch is called the fourth watch of the day, because then all of a sudden at 6 p.m., it begins the watch of the night, the first watch of the night, okay? But that watch is known for divine access and removal of veils. Now, these people back then, they knew how to pray at certain times for certain things. Just like Kathy, when she was talking about the stars, I would love that she taught about that. So I'm getting this revelation back then, and then God's setting all this other stuff up. So you guys got to hear, some of you, about the heavens are declaring his word, right? They're telling a story up in the heavens. Well, they understood that. They also understood there were certain times of the day that their prayers would be more powerful, I guess you'd say. It was the time to pray for that. When did the veil tear? 3 p.m., 9th hour of the day. Same time frame, divine access, a removal of veils. It's not a coincidence. If you go through the Bible and you start looking at those 9th hour things, what was happening, I'd probably line up in those two categories. It was divine access or removal of a veil. So they understood these things. So when these things were even happening and they were encountering the trance, the visions, when this was happening, they understood this is the timing for that to happen. So they knew, oh God, you're removing veils. Oh God, you are. They understood his ways. So really, mostly what I really want us to this is all good stuff, but I don't even need to go there. What I want us to walk away with today is encountering him. We need to encounter him, you guys. If Cornelius, you know, has a vision, or, you know, I mean, an angel came and gives him this vision, it's happening to you. Have you ever woke up from a dream and you're like, whoa, I just had a dream. Now, did you stop that dream? It came, right? You didn't have to, you know, fight to go have a dream. Now, there's times I ask the Lord, God, I need you to speak to me about blah, 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 blah. Do it in a dream. Do it in your word. Do it in however you want to speak to me in the moment. Just, I need you. I need you to speak to me because I'm not seeing something. I'm not hearing something. So God has these ways. It's divine access to us. But we got to say yes to those things, you guys. Like, I go through seasons, like I said, of dreaming and seasons where I'm not dreaming so much. But I know he's always there. I know there's times where, I mean, I'll just get to the word of the Lord for people, and it's just like, oh, or for a situation, or for a, I remember, you guys, this is the funniest thing. So I've been a dreamer for many, many years, and I remember being in a van on a way to a trip, okay? This was the first time I realized how much power there is in a dream, or a vision, or a word, how much power there is, okay? So it was, gosh, I don't even know how many people were packed into this van, but it was Tom and Mary Helbig. It was myself. I know there was John Grapperhaus. I remember Ashley. It was just Stacy's youngest sister. I know there was other people, but there was, we were crammed, and we went to South Dakota crammed in a van like that. That was not a fun moment. So you know the drive. That is a long drive. So, you know, where did we, I don't know, just South Dakota. And so, Ashley says, you know what? I had a dream. And she starts sharing this dream she had. And the next thing I know, I'm like, somebody said, well, she goes, I just don't know what that means. And I sat there for a minute because I knew what it meant. Just, I was having an encounter with the Lord, right? She had the dream. Now he's giving me the interpretation right there in the van. And so I just start saying, well, I think it's blah, 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 blah. And she was like, she just started bawling. And I'm like, did I say something wrong? And I realized the Lord had just pierced her heart because he wanted her to understand what that meant. He wanted her to understand. It wasn't for me to understand. I'm not the one who had the dream, but she had a dream and she just was so like, I don't understand it. It gave her such hope, you guys, for a situation that seemed like there was no hope. It gave her hope. The Lord touched her heart. So, what I really want to do, guys, is I want us to examine ourselves right now. I mean, I've been doing this for some time. I want us to examine ourselves because I know that I know that most of the people in this room want to have an encounter with the Lord. Who in this room doesn't want to have an encounter with the Lord? Okay, that's what I thought. So what happens is we have to posture ourselves. It's not, yeah, it can just happen. But if you see right here, Peter was on a rooftop praying. He was in the middle of his prayer time, hungry. Are you hungry? Because I can smell that food actually right now. But he was hungry, physically hungry. And he says, I don't care, I gotta pray. He just knew it was his time of prayer and he wasn't gonna give that up for his hunger pains. He was gonna press in, and then look what happens. Cornelius wasn't even serving the God. You know, he wasn't serving Yahweh. He was serving the Italian army is what he was serving at that time. And yet he knew to pray to God the best he knew how. So he's praying and all of a sudden an angel shows up. He was devout, you guys. That means he was committed to that God, committed to him. He was giving alms. He did all the things he saw all those Jewish people doing because he knew somehow I know there's something in this. I see what's happening with them. He's seeing the outpouring of Holy Spirit after, you know, Jesus, you know, was here and died and went up to, you know, heaven, sent the Holy Spirit back for us. He got to be probably a witness to it. If he wasn't a witness, he was like just one town over hearing about it. It'd be like from here to Peavely, here to Baldwin. I mean, word travels fast now, but back then it didn't, but it wasn't probably that slow. One of the things that I want to share before I forget, because I'm heading somewhere and this is going to get forgotten. So I was doing some study. So Joe was laughing at me this week because I probably had 15 or 20 books out on my table this past week and a half, 2 weeks. But the Hebraic Roots Bible has a footnote. It says a few things a little differently, but I just wanted to really do the footnote. And it is regarding Cornelius. So Peter's doing all of this. They meet, they talk about it. This whole story was told twice, told while it happened, and it was also told again to the hearing of everybody that was with Cornelius, because Cornelius is there and everybody's like, ooh, Jesus is, or the not Jesus, but Jesus' guy, you know, Peter, man, he's coming, you know? And so they're all, you know, the word's out. There's a party happening. There's a gathering happening. They want to see this Peter guy, you know? He was the guy there in Acts 2 when the Holy Spirit was poured out, you know? So you know that his notoriety was before him. So, you know, they're all hanging out. And, but Peter was talking to them about it, and he says that it's not lawful for a Jewish man. You know that it is not lawful for a Jewish man. It reads really weird in that one. Hang on, because I'm just going to read the footnote out of that. 28. It is for a man who is Jew. It's unlawful for a man who is a Jew to associate with a foreigner or to visit him. So a Jewish man couldn't hang out with Cornelius. That was forbidden. It was totally forbidden. However, if I go and read the footnote, I'll tell you how it was forbidden. It is unlawful according to the rabbinical tradition, not according to Torah. So the rabbis had set this up. So we're talking about, you know, like, let's look past what we think this word says, and let's dig for it. It was the rabbis. It was religious tradition. It was religion that shut this guy down, saying, he can't hang out with the Jews. No, the Torah even comes against that teaching. So isn't it interesting that we're trying to say, God, take us past tradition. Take us past all this man-made stuff, Western churches, not just Western, you guys. I mean, it's pretty pervasive throughout the world. I know that it's like our terminology, say the Western church. I'm just telling you, the church in general, you know, has really, you know, grabbed hold of all these men's traditions and not Torah. So I just loved in that, reading that footnote, that wasn't God's way. God's way was never to say they can't be part of what you're doing. He never said that. Ever. That was tradition. So when we're, that's making that fall. So what was happening was the Lord was showing Peter, this is what you guys are saying is not right, but I've never said that. I want to break that mindset that what was said there was me, because it was me. He's saying it was never me. I was never calling them, you know, common is how they worded it. I never said that they weren't worthy to sit at the table with you. You know, so of course, then we all know there was the outpouring of Holy Spirit, and you know, they were speaking in tongues. They were what?
Peter was amazed.
Yes. Everybody's like, whoa! Can you see what's happening? So Cornelius has an encounter. Peter has an encounter. They collide purposefully for another encounter. Okay, you guys, I'm telling you, we have to say, God, we want an encounter because it's unto something. It's for his purposes, not just so we have a cool dream, not so we have a cool vision or a trance or, you know, it is cool. To encounter God that way, it should shake us. But to unto like, whoa, God is that powerful that he wants to encounter us, okay? So it's funny, I was like, so another thing David in our class last week was, I just loved it because all these little things I was doing, I was like, oh, they talked about Acts 10. Oh, Kathy talked about the heavens. Oh, David talked about this intimacy with the Song of Solomon. It says in chapter 2, verse 13, it says, arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come along. He wanted to partner with her. You know, he wants to partner with us. However he wants to do that, are you willing to say yes? Are you willing to now also want an encounter? Are you willing to do what it takes to get an encounter? Spend that time in prayer when you're hungry, you know? I mean, what's the Lord asking you? Because he's asking each of us different things, you know? His word says, whom shall I send? Instantly, Isaiah said. There was no pause. Let me think about that. Do I want to do that? Instantly, it says, he said, here am I. Here I am, God, send me. Here I am. You know, he's like, he's always looking. Who wants this? Who wants to have that encounter? Who wants to know me in a way that only I can show you? Because it's not for you. It's for this kingdom. It increased his kingdom. It showed people, you guys are walking around in religious thinking that this man can't hang out with you because he's common. Because he's not like you. And the Lord said, He was done with that. He said, this is what's going to happen. So he has these encounters with these people that causes a bigger encounter. So, is London in here? Can you hop up here for me, London? We're going to take some time just for a few minutes, you guys. I want us to think about this. I want us to take just a moment, and I don't care if you have to close your eyes, you have to stand up and pace. I don't care what you do, but I want us to take a few moments. I want us to say to the Lord, yes, I want this kind of an encounter that's going to increase your kingdom. Not about me, it's about you. I want an encounter that will cause things to happen in the spirit realm. I want an encounter that will shake my family. They'll see you for who you are. I want an encounter that will ripple across St. Louis. We got the Pray for the Lou coming up. What if God began to pour out some kind of a sign and a wonder, some kind of an encounter with this one and that one and that one in the midst of that, you guys, that our city would see it? What if? Can you not just say, this is the God of the Bible? Go through it. I mean, I'm sure in every book of this Bible, there's an encounter with the living God. The living God. So I'm going to ask you guys to not just sit in your seats. He was requiring a response. The Lord requires response. He required a response from Cornelius. He said, send these guys. Cornelius could have not sent them, but he did. He said to Peter when, you know, he's having these ponderings with the Lord after this vision, these men are coming, go to them. Okay, Peter could have said no. Peter could have not came down off his rooftop. I'm having a moment with Jesus. Okay, so there's two ways I want us to think in our hearts in response. One is God's given us an opportunity to respond in an attitude even of repentance. Whether it be, I'm not talking just sin, but of course sin, but I'm talking, it's, how many times have I limited him? God, would you forgive me for limiting you? For fear, for inaction. I mean, just some of the things, even when you guys were praying for me, I was like, wow, God, you are really in this thing right now, because I kept hearing the things that he's been talking to me about. God, I want to repent from worldly pleasures. They might not really seem sinful in and of themselves, but if they are drawing you away from him, it's sin. Okay, guys. Rich's little song he did last week said, be careful little eyes. Be careful little eyes what you see. Be careful little ears what you hear. You guys, we have to be thoughtful of these things, because what we're doing is we're polluting ourselves by watching stuff on television, by hearing things we shouldn't be hearing, by speaking things we shouldn't be speaking. So if there's something that the Lord's speaking to you right now, just, you know, right now, you and the Lord, if there's something he's speaking to you about that you need repentance for, do it with him. Also, in addition, it might be one of these things, it might be both of these things. It's about a response right now for receiving encounter unto his purposes. Encounter unto him. Not unto ourselves to say, I had this cool thing happen to me. It's about him and his kingdom, you guys. So if you're wanting a divine encounter, you want dreams and visions, trances, you know, angels coming and speaking to you, a divine oracle coming. You know, God wants to use us if we want to rise and run with him. But we've got to want that. So I'm just saying to you right now, guys, if you want to be that one that has an encounter and wants to experience encounters for his kingdom, if you're somebody that needs prayer for repentance, for anything, inactivity, just sitting on my bum all day long and not doing anything, you know, when 30 minutes of prayer could change your life. It could change the life of your family. You don't know. So if that's you, you want an encounter, or you have something that you need repentance, you want to just say, I want to repent. I want to lay it down at your feet, Jesus, and I want to get this right. Then I want you to come up here, because it's something about Peter made a move. Cornelius made a move. They didn't just sit there. So if you're like, I want encounter, I want encounter, I want dreams, I want visions, I want to change things for your kingdom, God. Or God, I'm struggling with something and I can't seem to let it go. I'm struggling and I can't, it won't go away. And this isn't about, I will pray for you guys, and this isn't about me praying for you. This is about you connecting with him right now. Just connect with him right now. Right now, just open your mouth and just tell him, I'm sorry that I've been caught up in this lie, this sin, this pattern of unbelief. God, would you please forgive me? Set things right. I want to encounter you. Holy Spirit, you are one of activity, divine activity. We want divine activity in this body of believers, that people would say, what's happening there? Because it's him. He wants to increase his kingdom. Encounter us, God. Encounter us. Encounter us in dreams and visions. Take us up in trances. We want more of you. We want more of you.